Pesachim Daf Lamed Hey. We are in the very bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. We are going to quickly finish up from yesterday's Gemara, and then obviously start with a Mishnah and a discussion regarding Matzah. This discussion that we are having right now is a conclusion of yesterday's Gemara. Yesterday, Gemara focused on a Mishnah in Trumos, the ninth parak of Trumos. Shesile Truma, what happens when I were to plant Truma Tamea in the ground, and now new growth comes up from the ground. So the Mishnah says on one hand it's tar, on the other hand, asurim ba'achila, you're not allowed to eat it. It's a difficult Mishnah, and the Gemara spent the majority of yesterday's daf trying to say a pshat in that Mishnah. After a couple of attempts amongst the Amoraim in Bavel, the Gemara quotes Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah says that, first he has not the most complimentary things about to say about the Amoraim in Bavel, but he then goes on to say a pshat that it's a chumra. A chumra derabbanan that really make or a din when you plant something in the ground and the new growth that comes out of the ground really is considered a panim chadashos, a new entity. But the chachamim asu malu, they simply made a chumra as it relates to items of hektesh. In fact, the Gemara quoted a brisa regarding the me'achag. What happens when I have the water that was intended to be used for the nisuch hamayim on sukkos and it becomes tameh? And I try to do hashaka. Hashaka is something very similar to planting something in the ground. It is a way of creating tahara for water in a mikvah. And the Braisa says that it makes a distinction whether or not the hashaka was done before it was kadosh or after it was kadosh. And if it was after it was kadosh, so then hashaka simply doesn't work. Now me'ikar adina does work, but the chachamim created a chumra as it relates to the me'achag. And similarly, says Rav Yirmiyah, the same thing is true regarding Truma. Once Truma has Kedusha, and then it becomes Tum, and you plant in the ground, so when it comes out of the ground, may Iker Hadin, it becomes Tahor. Truth of the matter is, as we discussed yesterday, really the truth of the matter is that it's not even Truma anymore, but nevertheless, the idea that it's going to be Asr Ba'achila, simply Malu Asr, the Chachamim made a Chumra in that regard. Along those lines, our Gemara is going to continue along this train, this thread, in which the Chachamim made a Chumar as it relates to Hektesh. Amar Rava. So now we are two lines from the bottom. The Amar Rava Namitanina. He says, I'll give you another example of a Chumar that was done by Hektesh. We're going to get three examples right now until the next Mishnah of Chumars that were imposed by the Chachamim in Hektesh. So Chumar number one, Menasan Alav Mayim Chaim El Keli, Shitei Chiyusam Bikli. So on one hand, we know that when preparing the solution of the paraduma, so it's going to be a combination of spring water together with ashes of the burnt cow. First, in the kli, you put in the water, the spring water, and then you're going to put in the ashes of the burnt cow. The halacha is, as the Gemara just quoted it, is that in order for the water to go into the kli, it has to go directly into the kli from the water source, which would indicate that, yeah, the kli has to be put into the spring, and the water is going to go directly into the kli. And meanwhile, continuing in the Gemara, v'nasan ama talushin inu. V'nasan sounds like what you're going to do is that you're going to draw the water from the spring, and then you're going to put the water into a kli. In other words, that's v'nasan. And the sina would indicate that there is going to be first a drawing and then a putting in. So v'amichubarim ninu. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second, we obviously are confused at this point in time. Meaning on one hand, we said that the water has to be drawn directly from the spring. On the other hand, we talked about a nesina, which means that first it's put in a kli, and then it's put in the kli that ultimately is going to be mixed with the paraduma. Ela mala, hachanami mala. So the Gemara says, okay, but this is a chumra. Meaning that me'ikar hadin, one could go ahead and draw the water into a kli, and then pour it from that kli into another kli, in order to prepare for the paraduma. But as a chumra, so the Chachamim demanded that the water be drawn directly from the ground itself. What about the fact that the Gemara had a Pasuk in Darshan? The Pasuk Rashi says that's just an Asmachta. But the truth of the matter is that Me'ikar Adin, it can be drawn from a Kli into the Kli where the Efer Paraduma is going to go into. But as a Chumra, it's going to be drawn directly from the spring itself. That's one example. The Gemara gives a second example. I'll give you another example, and this is regarding the Tahara Samitzora. Tahara Samitzora is a lengthy process with many steps along the way. We're focusing right now only on day number 7. Day number 7, the Tahara process. the Mitzorah is going to be toveling in the mikvah. The Pasuk says, Taval ve'alah. The Mishnah says, Taval ve'alah, he tovels in the mikvah on day number 7, and he comes up from the mikvah. Ochel b'maiser, just the tefillah alone, now creates some level of tahara. So the Mitzorah is allowed to eat the maiser sheni at that point in time. Harav Shemsho, once undergoing Harav Shemesh, the sun setting, so then Ochel b'truma. So then our Mitzorah is allowed to eat truma because you have the tefillah coupled together with Harav Shemesh, so then that would allow for Achilas truma. Now, b'truma in b'kachim lo. What our Mitzorah could do at that point in time is eat truma, but not kachim. Now, Amai Tarahu, and the Gemara says, now I don't understand. You went through the normal process of the Tara. That would be tefillah b'mikvah. That would be Harav Shemesh. So you can eat truma. Why can't you eat hektish as well? Why can't you eat kachim as well? So that is a chumrah. It sounds like the Gemara, from the context of the Gemara over here, talking about a chumrah derabbanan. Meanwhile, the idea that the Mesorah is mechusar kippurim and cannot eat carbon until he brings his own sets of carbonos, meaning on day number 8, the Mesorah is going to be bringing the ola, the asham, the chatos, 3 carbonos, and our Mesorah cannot eat any carbonos until they bring carbonos, that's a din daraisa. So it is a little bit strange that the Gemara, although the Gemara is highlighting a chumrah that we have by kachim, but it's not a chumrah midrabbanan, it's a din daraisa. So yes, so the case over here is a little bit strange that it fit in to these other cases which are clearly a chumrah midrabbanan. But in any event, Amravashi Afanamitanin, the Gemara over here gives us a third example. And that is the following that we learned to the Braisa, Tanina. And we saw this earlier in our Masechta. Veha Basar. Pasuk over here describing how somebody who's Tahar is allowed to eat Kashim, which are Tahar. And Veha Basar, and the Vav is extra. Larabos is Eitzim. Ulavona. So it comes to include Eitzim and Lavona. Eitzim and Lavona, despite the fact that they are not food, are going to be susceptible to Tumah if they're Tameh. So cannot be eaten, cannot be consumed. Now, one has to wonder, they are not food. Eitzim lavona b'nei it muye ninu. So how can we even have a discussion regarding Tumah when they're not subject to Tumah? As we discussed at the end of the first parak of Psachim, only four categories are subject to Tumah. Adam, Kalim, Ochlin, Mashkin. Either a person or a kli, or food or liquid. Those and only those four things are susceptible to tumah. So if we're talking about wood, if we're talking about lavona, so they fit in none of those categories, and yet they are going to be susceptible to tumah. Ella mala hachanami mala. It's a chumrah derabbanan that they become actually eligible to become tumah. This is the concept known as chibas hakodesh. Chibas hakodesh is this idea that those things which are not foods and nor under normal circumstances are not going to be susceptible to tumah, but because they are involved in the Beis HaMikdash and in the Mizbeach, so therefore they are going to be susceptible to tumah. This is the idea of Chibas HaKodesh. Again, another chumrah as we have to Hektesh. And again, putting all this together, stringing all this together, so the Gemara just made 3 different arguments in terms of how chumrahs, we see chumrahs as it relates to Hektesh. So now the idea, going back to the Mishnah and Trumos, the idea is that when I plant the truma on the ground and it comes up again, and it's tar, but it's asa ba'achila, so why should it be asa ba'achila? So this also support for Rav Yirmiyah's answer of mala asa. The chachamim made a chumra as it relates to kodesh, and so this just fits in along that particular theme. It kind of takes us to the end of the sugya. Now we are starting with the Mishnah here, Psachim and Lamed Hay. And we're back to the topic of matzah. This Mishnah over here is going to be fundamental in terms of what are the basic requirements in terms of what it takes to make matzah. And we're going to start off with a very basic idea, and that is what is going to be the grains that one could use in order to make matzah. Matzah is going to be a combination of any one of the 5 grains together with water. The actual baking process itself is coming up later on in this parak. But right now we're just talking about the basic ingredients in order to make matzah. We start with the Mishnah. Elu dvarim she'adam yotzei bahem yidei chavasa bepesach. These are the things that one can fulfill his obligation on Pesach. Meaning, these grains can make matzah. Bechitim b'sarim b'kusmim v'shipon uvishibolas shua. Wheat, barley, spelt, oats, rye and oats. So those 5 grains can go ahead and make matzah. V'yotze midmai. And now the Mishnah is going to give us another series of halachas. These halachas in the Mishnah should sound familiar. We went over these basic halachas back in the seventh parak of Brachos. We also went over them in Erevin. We touched on in Shabbos as well. So these halachas we've gone over so far in every one of the Masechtos since the beginning of Shas. And the whole sugya that's coming up in the Gemara is going to sound very familiar, as basically the sugya was repeated in the seventh parak of Brachos, as it was repeated in Erevin, and it's over here in Pesachim as well, in the second parak of Pesachim. So this hopefully will be great chazara on what we already know. Basically, what we're going to be discussing is the intersection between the mitzvah of matzah and all the other agricultural halachas. And the basic idea is that in order for one to fulfill his obligation of eating matzah, so the matzah has to be kosher. Kosher meaning agriculturally kosher, meaning that there can be no issues of tevel and trumos and all the other agricultural pitfalls that one would have with any grains in Eretz Yisrael. And so the Mishnah over here goes through the basic requirements of what our matzah cannot be. So, first we'll start off with what it can be. The yotzim et demai, so one can use demai. All this is going to be defined in much greater detail as we get through the Gemara. Uver meiser rishon shenat la trumah. So the same thing with meiser rishon, where the trumah meiser has been taken off of a meiser shen vehektish sheniftu, meiser sheni and hektish that was redeemed. So these are the types of matzahs which are acceptable, the kosher, and anyone therefore can fulfill his obligation with eating these types of matzahs. We're going to go over them in much greater detail when we get to the Gemara. V'ha-kawanim, now when it comes to kawanim, so b'chala uv'chuma. So they can fulfill their obligation of eating matzah, even though the matzah is made up of chala and chuma. Chala and chuma both have kedusha, both can only be eaten by kohanim. And yet, when the Kohen receives matzah of either challah or truma, so the Kohen can fulfill his obligation of the mitzvah of matzah. Why would I have thought otherwise? Let's stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. Avalo, but here is a list of things that one cannot use on Pesach, meaning despite the fact that the matzah itself is kasha matzah, but because of these other agricultural issues, so therefore one is not going to be able to fulfill his obligations. So a quick list of the things that are not going to be good. Tevel, untithed produce. Meiser Rishon, where the Trumas Meiser was not removed. Meiser Sheni and Hektish, that was not redeemed. So these are therefore going to be prohibited. And despite the fact from a matzah standpoint, it will be acceptable matzah. But from a agricultural standpoint, they're going to be asur. And therefore, one cannot fulfill his obligation of eating matzah with these items. Again, all this to be discussed in much greater detail when we get to the Gemara. And then, one more section of the Mishnah, Chalos HaToda Urikike Nazir. So when you have the loaves of the carbon toda and the loaves that are associated with the carbon of a Nazir, obviously we're talking about those loaves that are not chametz. In the carbon toda, 10 of the loaves are going to be chametz. So we're talking about the matzah section, the 30 matzah loaves of the carbon toda. So the loaves of the carbon toda, rikike, and the loaves that come together with the nazir, again, matzah, asal asmon, ein yotze behem. If you made them for yourself, so one cannot fulfill the obligation, the matzah on Pesach, asal limkor. However, if you made them to sell them, bishuk in the market, yotze behem, one can fulfill its obligation. Rashi points out that at this point in time, we really don't understand why such a distinction is being made. What's the basis of that distinction? Rashi says, we're going to wait till the Gemara in order to discuss this in much greater detail. Tana, we're going to start off the Gemara with a brisa. The brisa over here now is going to take the five grains and organize. And basically the idea is that there are two main grain categories, wheat and barley, and the other three grains that are discussed in the Mishnah really fit in to one of the two main categories. And the way it's organized, the Gemara, the Braisa tells us, Ntana, Kusmin, Minchitin. So when it comes to spelt falls under the category of wheat. So in other words, spelt is really on team wheat. And Shiboloshua, Vishipon, and as far as the oats and the rye are concerned, means the orin. So they are in the family of barley. This is significant, says Rashi. Why? So we know the halach is that when you're torim, when you take off trumas and maizes, it has to be min bimino. You have to take off from one grain onto another like grain. And one is not allowed to be mafrish from min al she'eino mino. on something of one grain, on something to another thing, which is a totally different type of produce. And so the Chiddush over here, says Rashi, is that because, let's take the example of wheat and spelt. Wheat and spelt find themselves to be in the same family, so then one could take Chumas and Maisers from wheat onto spelt. And of course, vice versa, from spelt onto wheat. One cannot take off Chumas and Maisers from anything in the barley family, meaning oats and rye, onto wheat. That's the way Rashi understands what the significance is of this organization. Why is spelt put into the category of wheat? So I'm not the best person to ask this question to. A botanist may have a good explanation in terms of why this should be. But in terms of the organization, it's very clear in our Gemara over here. Wheat and barley are basically the avos. They're like the main categories of the grains. And then the spelt falls under the category of wheat. Oats and rye fall under the category of barley. Continuing in the Gemara. Kusmin. Now, the Mishnah uses terminology that obviously was familiar with the Masadar Mishnayos, but for the Aramaic speakers, it's a little bit difficult to understand what these items are. So here's one of those classic examples where the Gemara now is going to be providing a simple Aramaic dictionary for the terms that are used in the Mishnah. And for us non-Aramaic speakers, it's not going to be particularly helpful. But anyway, Kusmin, when it comes to Kusmin, so that's Gulba. Good, that's the Aramaic translation. And Shipon Dishra, that's the Aramaic translation of Shipon. And Shibol Shul Shipoli Shivile Tala. And the Aramaic translation of Shibol Shul Shivile Tala. So Hani in Orz Vedochen Lo. And now the Gemara is going to start off its discussion regarding which is not listed in the Mishnah. Meaning, so we have five grains that are clearly listed in the Mishnah, which means that there may be grain-like products, but they are not listed in the Mishnah, and therefore are not going to be subject to neither the mitzvah of matzah nor to the isser of chametz. And notably, orez v'dochen. We're going to translate orez as rice. Dochen is going to be millet. The Rishonim do have a bit of a debate regarding which one is which, but for our purposes right now, just to keep everything simple, we'll assume that the orez is the rice and dochen is millet. And they are not going to be eligible to make matzah. And now, immediately the Gemara wants to know, from how do I know this? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish v'chein. Tan de Bei Rabbi Shimon v'chein. Tan de Bei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Lo socha alav chamit shivas yamim, tocha alav matzos. So in the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, we have a clear relationship developed between chametz and matzah. And Dvar Mabayim Lidei Chimutz, anything that could potentially become chametz, Adam Yotze Bahem Yidei Chavatza Bematza. A person could fulfill his obligation of eating matzah. Yatsu Elu She'in Bahem Lidei Chimutz. So when I take rice and I try to create chametz out of it, it does not create chametz. Ela Lidei Sirchon. It simply rots. The Gemara's description over here is that when if I were to try to take rice and make chimutz out of it and have it ferment and have it expand, it's not going to do that, but rather it's just simply going to it's going to rot. And therefore, it can't become chametz. And because of the relationship between something becoming chametz and something therefore becoming matzah, since the rice cannot become chametz, therefore it can't become matzah as well. Masis in the Lokar of Yochem and Nuri, the Gemara here notes that our Mishnah is not following the Shita of Yochem and Nuri, Damra or is Mindaganhu. Now, Rav Yochem and Nuri's position, we saw this back in Brachos. Now we get to see it here in Psachim, and that rice is in fact considered one of the grains. In fact, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, if you allow rice to ferment in water, so it's going to become chametz, and one is going to be liable, fully liable for eating fermented rice on Pesach. Detanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, Oser ba'orez v'dochem imnei shekarov lachmitz. Now, in the Brisa, the terminology that's used to describe Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and what happens is that if I were to take the grains of rice and put it into water, it's karov lahachmitz. Now, exactly what was meant by that? So the Gemara has two possibilities of how to understand that. Number one, shekarov lahachmitz dekadim lahachmitz. Maybe what Rav Yochanan ben Nuri's understanding is that rice, not only does rice become chametz, but even at a quicker rate, a more accelerated rate than the standard five grains. That's one way to understand it. Now, within this understanding, what clearly Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is saying is that if one were to eat fermented rice, so one would be subject to the full liability of eating chametz on Pesach. In other words, it would be nisar karis. That's one possibility. Oh, Dhamma, the Gemara says, but I will give you another possibility, which is Karav Lahachmitz, Have, Chametz Kamer Lo Have. Karav Lahachmitz means it gets close to becoming Chametz, but it's not Chametz Gamor. A term that we're going to be seeing a number of times over the course of this Masechta, it's Chametz Nuksha. It's like a partial Chametz. Partial Chametz is not subject to the Yisr Karetz, but it's still a lav, it's still prohibited. There will be a discussion later in the Masechta whether or not it's an Yisr Dereis or an Yisr Derabanan, but regardless, it's Aser. One is not allowed to eat something which is quote-unquote partial chametz. So Rav Yochanan Nuri looks at rice, at fermented rice, in one of two possible ways, is that it's mamish chametz gamor, which would mean not only that it's aser, but coming along with it would be an iser kares. Or the other possibility is that it's karav lechametz, it's almost chametz, meaning it's a quasi-chametz, but it's not chametz gamor, which means that it's not an iser kares for eating it, but still, nevertheless, it would be aser to eat it. Good. So this is the position of Rav Yochanan Nuri. Our Mishnah clearly is not subscribing to the Shita of Rav Yochanan Nuri. Tashma. Titania. Now, within this question of Rav Yochanan Nuri, how does he view rice, fermented rice? Does he view it as full-blown chametz or as a partial chametz? So the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following brisa. Amar Rav Yochanan Nuri, orez mindagan hu v'chayam nechimutzo, kareis v'adam yosei bo yidei chavosu bepesach. Okay, so here in the brisa, it says it very clearly that if it becomes chametz, the rice and water become chametz, so then one would be subject to the kares penalty. That clearly indicates that we're looking at chametz gamor. And if you try to make it into matzah, so you're yosi dechavasa, meaning according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, because it could become chametz, therefore it could also become matzah as well. V'chena, your Rav Yochanan Nuri omer karamitz chayim mechala, and Rav Yochanan Nuri says also this grain called karamitz. Now, it will be hard to identify what karamis is. In fact, you're going to see the Gemara struggle to identify what it is. It's some sort of legume that has a grain-like quality. And according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, it's going to be subject to the mitzvah of challah. The mitzvah of challah, hafreshes challah, to give the a portion of the dough over to a kohen. So we generally assume that it applies only to the five grains. Meanwhile, according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, it applies to this particular grain as well. The idea over here is that we see that according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, there are going to be other grains that are also included within the definition of what is considered a quote-unquote grain. So my karamis Gemara over here now is going to try to define what this karamis is, where according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, that is going to be chayv and chala. So Amar Abaye Shitzi Nisa. Good, so the Gemara gives now an Aramaic word, my Shitzi Nisa. The Gemara itself also struggled with that definition. So Amar Papa Shisinasa Dimishacha Beni Kalniyasa. So the Gemara over here gives us a little more detail in terms of what it is. Okay, so for us, or at least for me, so it doesn't really help in terms of identifying what it is. It's some sort of legume. Rashi over here does try to give a definition of what it is. You can see Rashi for a little more help in terms of defining what it is. Anyway. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Yishlakish Isa Shinilosha B'Yayin V'Shemen U'Dvash. Oh, I'm sorry, before we go on, before we start off with the next halacha, so the halacha is, of course, is that we do not follow like Rav Yochanan Nuri. You take rice and try to make matzah out of it, so it's not going to be a kosher matzah. And at the very same time, if you take rice and you make and you try to convert into chametz, so it does not become chametz. Meaning, despite the fact that Rav Yochanan Nuri is of the opinion that it does become chametz, and as we just concluded, according to Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, it's chametz gamor. Nevertheless, the halach is that it's actually not chametz. So the Rambam paskins like this, meaning not like Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, but rather like our Mishnah, that the only thing that could become chametz are only the five grains and nothing else. And so therefore, according to the Rambam, as is a simple conclusion of the Gemara, so anything that is not one of the five grains is simply not going to become chametz. So rice cannot become chametz. That is the psak of the Rambam. There is an ancient minug. Now I say ancient. It certainly goes back to the time of the Rishonim. The Ritva right here on today's daf brings up the minug that there is a minug Ashkenaz, there's a minug amongst the Jews of France and Germany where they did not eat. They did not eat rice on Pesach. And the Ritva himself is somewhat skeptical about such a minug, meaning he acknowledges that it's a minug, but the Ritva himself is not. It does not seem to be the biggest fan. The Beis Yosef when recording this a couple hundred years later, also notes that it's an Ashkenaz minhag, but the does not also says that amongst the Bnei Sfard, it's not a minhag. Anyway, there's an old and ancient minhag amongst the Ashkenazim not to eat rice and other types of grains that have grain-like quality. That could be milled, that could be turned into a kind of bread. It's an entire discussion in of itself, but this is now a good time just simply to acknowledge, just to highlight a really ancient minhag Ashkenaz, not to eat kidney asan on Pesach. And I'll just briefly mention it. The minhag of kidney asan is not to eat kidney asan on Pesach, but it is not aser behanan, it's not aser bebal yirah bayimase. Meaning the minhag is only not to eat it, but there is no iser regarding ownership of it. It's not chametz. There's no iser of ownership of it, and there's no iser of getting benefit from it as well. There's also a discussion regarding tarovis of kidneys. Anyway, it makes for its own body of literature, of halachic literature. It just, I'm not discussing it with any kind of detail. It's just that it's not going to come up in the Gemara, and now it's just an appropriate time to just bring it up to mention it, which is all I'm going to do for now. Continuing in the Gemara now, we are 2/3 of the way down Lamed Hamad Aleph, and continuing Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Ish Lakish Isa Shini Lo Shabiyan V'Shemen Zvash. If we have dough that was kneaded together with wine or oil or honey, so Ein Chayavin Al Chimutzo Karis, one is not going to be subject to Karis for whatever results from it. Meaning, well, the Gemara over here is not super clear in its meaning, but let's say over the Gemara like Rashi. Rashi is going to say it very clearly in tomorrow's daf, but we'll quote it over here, and that is that it's not going to create chametz gamor, but it doesn't mean that it is acceptable, one is allowed to eat it. That's the way Rashi understands it. When you read the Gemara, we'll read it again quickly, you certainly get the sense that the Gemara is not endorsing it, right? The Gemara quotes B'Shem Reish Lakish, if someone were to knead a dough with any one of these juices, obviously it's not water, but any of these liquids, grape juice or oil or honey, so in chayavan achimut sakaris, one is not going to be subject to the karis penalty if one were to eat it. Certainly the flavor of the Gemara, the sense of the Gemara is that the Gemara is saying that it's not proper to eat it, but it doesn't come about the full penalty of karis, meaning it's not chametz gamor. That's a simple way to read the Gemara. In fact, that's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam, I'll show it quickly on the Amud Beis a little bit later in the Daf, where Rabbeinu Tam does not read the Gemara that way. We're going to come back to the Rabbeinu Tam a little bit later. Yosef Rav Papa Rav Huna Berei, the Rav Yeshua Kamei, the Rav Idi Bar Avin, the Yosef Rav Idi Bar Avin, the Kamei Namim. So the Gemara says that these Amoraim are now speaking and learning in front of Rav Idi Bar Avin. Rav Idi Bar Avin at the time was somewhere between being awake and asleep. So Amalei Rav Huna Berei, the Rav Yeshua, the Rav Papa, my time of the Reish Lakish. Let's see if we can try to understand this halacha, that if I take the wheat or barley or either any one of the five grains mentioned in our Mishnah, and instead of using water, we're going to be using any one of these juices, and we make it, it's not going to be chametz gamor. Let's see if we can wrap our heads around the halacha. Let's see if we can understand a little bit better. So Amalei Damar Kra, lo so chalav chametz v'gomer. So we're going to go back to a point that we made just a little bit earlier, and that is the relationship between matzah and chametz. Whatever can become chametz will become matzah. Now, so now what we're going to do is that we're just going to take this relationship and we're going to work in the other direction. Meaning we know that if I were to take what we just described as being flour and oil, or flour and honey, and I try to fulfill my obligation with matzah, it wouldn't work. Why wouldn't it work? So the reason why it wouldn't work is because it falls into the category of matzah shira. One of the things we'll be establishing later in the Masechta is that for the Seder night, you need what's called lechemoni. It has to be poor man's bread. It has to be only made up of flour and water and nothing else. So I would say, therefore, that this is no good for the Seder night because it falls into the category of matzah shira. Once it falls under the category of matzah shira, ein chayavin achimutzo kares. So then one is not going to be subject to the kares penalty if one tries to make chametz out of it. Meaning we were going in the other direction earlier in the daf. We were saying that if it can't become chametz, it can't become matzah. Now what we're saying is that these items, meaning flour baked together with fruit juice, since they can't be used for matzah, therefore they're not going to be able to become chametz. So Eitzvei Rav Huna Bereid Rav Shul Rav Papa. So Rav Huna Bereid Rav Shul says Rav Papa, I don't think you're right about that point. In fact, let's consider the following. Himchal v'gamo, let's say what one were to do is one were to take flour and water, meaning it's bread, or something in between bread or matzah, right? We'll see, it can go in either direction. And what we did is we liquefied it. Well, you cooked it in a pot, you reduced it to some liquid state. So im chametz when ish kares. Now, if it is if it started off as chametz, so now what you're drinking is you're drinking liquid chametz, but drinking liquid chametz is still, when all is said and done, chametz. And therefore, one will be subject to the kares penalty. However, the matzah way not the yotzei de chavasa bePesach. Now, if it's matzah, one does not fulfill his obligation by eating this matzah in liquid form. Interesting, Rashi over here. Rashi says, "Why not? Why aren't you? Why haven't you fulfilled your obligation of eating matzah if you ate in liquid form?" So Rashi says, "Lav derech achila ka'achale," because you're not doing so in what would be considered a classic method of how to eat. In other words, we don't call this an achila, and the mitzvah of matzah is to have an achilas matzah. And eating it in a liquid state is not an achila. That's Rashi over here. See the Gemara in Chulin, right, on the side. It points you to Chulin Kuf Chaf. See the Gemara in Chulin over there. Kind of get the impression over there in the Gemara in Chulin that there really is another issue regarding eating liquid matzah. Anyway, when all said and done, what comes out over here, and the Gemara makes the point very clearly, so over here, you're trying to argue that if something cannot become matzah, so therefore it can't become chametz. And we've just proven that that, in fact, is not true. We're looking now at liquefied matzah, which can't be used for the mitzvah of matzah. And meanwhile, if what we started off with was chametz and we liquefy that, so then one is going to be subject to the chametz penalty. So this idea of yours that if something can't become matzah, it can't become chametz, it's simply not true. So Itar Behu Rav Idi Bar Avin, we all saw this happening, and that is Rav Idi Bar Avin, who at the time, at the beginning of the conversation, so he was nodding off, but now, as he's hearing them struggle to try to say a pshat in Reish Lakish, so finally, he wakes up and he's now going to say a pshat within Reish Lakish. So Itar Behu Rav Idi Bar Avin Amar Lahu, so he says to him, Dardiki, he describes them as being young Talmid Chachamim, but not in the positive sense, meaning that, right, not fully developed Talmid Chachamim. And Heine time of the Reish Lakish, what's behind Reish Lakish? Mishum da'avaluhu mei peros. He says what's behind the sheet of Reish Lakish is that what we are using over here is the fruit of a juice, right? The oil and the wine and even the honey. Honey over here is being described as mei peros and ein machmitzim. And they do not become chametz. Now they do not become chametz. How do you read that? So the way Rashi reads it, as we already pointed out, but now we're just reiterating. So the way Rashi reads it is that they don't become chametz gamor. It does not become definitive chametz. It does not allow you to eat it on Pesach in general, meaning it's some form of chametz, but it's not chametz gamor. That's the way Rashi understands it. Good. Tosos right here. The top Tosos on the Amud Beis, a long one. So he quotes Rashi, he cites Rashi, and he quotes Rashi's grandson, Rabbi Natam, who takes issue with the pshat that we just offered in the Gemara. So, not now, but on another occasion, to go through a little bit more in Tosfos in terms of what would be Rabbi Natam's reading of the Gemara over here. Rabbi Natam is of the position that if one were to take a grain and bake it together with the fruit juice, and only fruit juice, so it's mamish, not chametz at all. That's Rabbi Natam's reading of a Gemara over here. Okay, much more to discuss between the sheets of Rashi and Rabbi Natam. Comes out to be a really basic difference between Rashi and Rabbi Natam. Halach l'maisa, if one were to make matzah using just another fruit juice and no water whatsoever. So according to Rashi, that is aser to consume on Pesach. It's not chametz that bears kares, but nevertheless, according to Rashi, it's still chametz. Masha'inkin, according to Rabbi Natam, it's mamash not chametz at all. Okay, a huge difference between Rashi and Rabbi Natam. Much more to discuss on that topic. However, we're going to continue. We're on the top of the Amud Beis. And we're going to be finishing up now the second half of today's daf, and a lot of this discussion should hopefully sound familiar. Most of what the upcoming discussion we had in the seventh parak of Brachos, we had in the, I believe, third parak of Erevin, and now we're going to see it all again in terms of the agricultural halachas that were mentioned in our Mishnah. Some of them are acceptable, and therefore you can have matzah, and some of them are unacceptable, and therefore you cannot eat these matzahs. So let us start off. Yotzei b'demai v'maiser v'demai. Halu chazilei, the Gemara says, I don't understand demai. So let's go over what demai is. When you buy produce from a Jew who is an ama aretz, who is not careful about the way he performs mitzvahs and not careful about agricultural halacha. So under those circumstances, you have to take off trumas and maisers again, and a rabbinic legislation is put in that you are not allowed to eat these grains until you're mafri trumas and maisers. And this legislation, and the grain is described as demai. That is the term that's used to describe any grain that's purchased from ama aretz. And so the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. If you're eating your matzah made up of demai, the Mishnah says it's okay. What in the world is okay about it? It's asur. Now one's not allowed to eat demai. And therefore, how can one fulfill his obligation? The Rashi over here notes, we're going to see this coming up at the end of the daf and in tomorrow's daf, that the only matzah that one is allowed to eat is one that has no other isur involved in it. Rashi also entertains the idea that this also may be a violation of mitzvah baba avera. Okay, Rashi does not elaborate over here. Anyway, either way, and there's much to discuss within the Rashi, but either way, the point is that demai is also. So why would the Mishnah say that if you eat matzah of demai, so it's okay, it's fine? So the Gemara gives the answer. We saw already this answer back in Brachos, back in Erevin. Now we get to see it again. The Gemara's response is, Halo chazilei, kevin diibai mafka lenachsei. So you know that a person can give up all of his possessions, aviani, and become poor, v'ochel demai. And a poor person is allowed to eat demai. Hashanami chazilei. So since there is that potential, unlikely that a person will do that, but at least it exists within the realm of potential, so therefore the demai is not a chefza shel iser. It is not an absolute iser. Dinan. And here the Mishnah, machlis anim demai v'sachsani demai. One is allowed to give poor people demai. One is allowed to give armies that you are hosting. Tosus over here describes them as non-Jewish soldiers. But if you're hosting an army, so you're allowed to feed them demai. So there are clear dispensations for demai. So we're not talking about something which is objectively prohibited. The Amar Rav Huna Tana Beishame Omrim Ein Machlis Anim Demai Vesachsanya Demai Beisila Omrim Ma'achilin. And then the Gemara quotes the Brisa, which notes that this is subject to a machlokus Beishame and Beisila, but obviously we follow like Beisila in that demai you are allowed to give to the poor and to the army soldiers that you are hosting. And Tosfos is not here, but Tosfos. I think Brachos, but Erevin as well, describes why the Brice over here is necessary to be quoted, meaning we possibly like Beis Hillel. So if in the event that we do find a Brice that says that you are not allowed to give demai to the anim, at least you now know, oh yeah, that Shitas Beis Shammai. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Maisa Rishon Shenitla Trumasom. Maisa Rishon, that's the 10% that's given to the Levi. And now from that, he has to take 10% of that and give it over to the Kohen. And that's what's called Trumas Maisa. And the Mishnah seems to making a point which is very obvious, which is that if any of these grains, these five grains, are given over to the Levi, and then he took off Trumas Maaser to give over to the Kohen, so then the remaining 9% that he kept for himself, he could use for matzah. And the Gemara's reaction to that is all of our reactions. Pshita. Now that's obvious. Kevishanala Trumaso Chulanave. The Levi did exactly what he was supposed to do, so of course whatever's remaining he could use for matzah. What would you have thought otherwise? So the Gemara's response is, "Lotzricha shiktima b'shibalim, v'nat la'imenu trumas meiser, v'lo not la'imenu truma gadola." So the Gemara gives the ukimta, and again, it should sound familiar. Same ukimta that we saw back in Brachos and in Erevin, and that is that what the Levi did is he went out to the field before the Kohen was given his allocation of the truma gadola. So the Levi took his meiser rishon from the field first. So that's 10%. Now, if you think about it, what the Levi did is he really took away a little bit from the Kohanim. Because really what the Kohanim are entitled to is to take first from the field their 2%. then and only then the Levi should take his 10%. And then the list goes on. But meanwhile, because the Levi took first, so he really did diminish a little bit from that which the Kohen took. When the Levi goes back home now and takes his Maaser Rishon that he took in the field first, which he should not have done, but he did. So now what does he have to do? So for sure he has to take off Truma's Maaser to give to the Kohen. What about Truma Gedola? So what we're learning now is a Chiddush, and that is that he does not need to take off Truma Gedola. And the Gemara points out that this is based on a drasha. Uchid Rabbi Abba, Damer Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shema Melakish, Maaser Rishon Sheik Dima B'Shiva Lim Patur Mitruma Gedola. When the Maaser Rishon was taken off from the field, directly from the field, so then it's exempt from Truma Gedola. Shenamar, we have a pasuk that the Gemara darshens. The Harimosem Mimenu Trumas Hashem, you separate from it Trumas Hashem. Maaser min HaMaaser, that's the pasuk. And the Gemara now darshens, Maaser min HaMaaser, Amarti Lach Velo Truma Gedola, V'Trumas Maaser min HaMaaser. Only one portion comes off of the Maaser Rishon, and that is going to be the Maaser min HaMaaser. What we describe as Trumas Maaser. But the Truma Gedola does not have to be taken off of the Maaser Rishon that was taken by the Levi. So Amar Levi Rav Papa La Abaye Elam Yata Afilik Dima Bekri Nami Li Pater. So the Gemara asked the question, and again, this is now the third time in Shas that we're hearing this question, at least the third time. And that is that once we have this drasha and the heter for the Levi, where if he went out to the field and he took first before the Kohen, he only has to give off Trumas Maaser, and he does not have to give off Truma Gedola. So a question, let's say the Levi were to go into the silo after the grain was harvested by the farmer, after it was brought into the storehouse, And the top was smoothed over. So now it's Tevel Gamor. And now at that point in time, the Levi goes in and takes his 10% first. So you want to tell me now that the Levi is going to be exempt from giving Truma Gedola? So Amar Le Alach Amar Kram, Mikol Matnosechem Tarimu, as Kol Trumas Hashem. So to that, Abai says back to Rav Papa, we have a drasha for that. The Pasuk says that the Levi's responsibility is to give all portions to the Kohen, and that would mean that the Trumas Maaser and the Maaser Gedola have to be given over to the Kohen. So now, if you think about it, really we have drashas which seem to be pulling us in two different directions. One drasha is clearly stating that the Levi only has to take off Trumas Maaser, not Truma Gedola. Another drasha that says that the Levi has to take off everything, both Truma Gedola and Trumas Maaser. And what we've now come to understand is that it depends when the Levi preempted. If the Levi preempted out in the field, he only has to take off Trumas Maaser, not Truma Gedola. If the Levi preempted in the warehouse, in the storehouse, then he has to take off both. The Gemara over here asked the question, well, I know I have differing drushes, and I know they need to be applied in different circumstances. How do you know that we got it right? The way we just said it is the correct way to say it. That's the Umareisi. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Hi Idgan, hi Lo Idgan. But the answer is actually pretty straightforward. And that is, if the Levi went out to the field and took it from the field, so lo idgan, it hasn't been processed yet, meaning it's not formally tevel yet. So that under those circumstances, we're going to apply the drasha that the Levi only needs to give the Trumas Maaser and not Truma Gedola. However, if he took it from the warehouse where it's already been processed, and now it's tevel, and now it's chayv and Trumas Maaser, so at that point in time, if the Levi goes ahead and preempts and takes his Maaser Rishon first, so then we're going to apply the other drasha where he has to go back and give both Trumas to the Kohen, Truma Gedola and Trumas Maaser. Continuing in the Gemara, Maaser Sheni Vehektish Iniftu, Pshita. Now, if we're talking about Maaser Sheni and Hektish that was redeemed, once again, it's difficult to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you could use that for matzah, and the question is very simple. Well, what alternative would there be? You did exactly what you were supposed to do. It's a davar pashut. That's the Gemara's question. Pshita. So the chiddush over here is that you redeemed by paying for its principal value, but you didn't add a chomish. Anytime you redeem something that belongs to you, you must add a chomish. In this particular case, you did not add a chomish. One could have argued, or at least thought to argue, that if you do not add a chomish, so that is not therefore not redeemed. And the chiddush is that the chomish, although it is an obligation, it's not ma'akev. It doesn't prevent redemption from occurring. V'akohanim b'chala v'chuma v'chulei. Kohanim can take the chala that was given to them and use it for their matzah. Same thing with the chuma that's given to them. Use it for their matzah. The Gemara says pshita. Now, isn't this obvious? Ma'u detema. Matzah shev l'chol adam b'inan kamash malan. Matzah's riba. The havamin over here would be that the only matzah that is eligible to be used on Pesach is only matzah that can be eaten by every Jew. The matzah of challah and the matzah of truma of the Kohanim can only be eaten by Kohanim. So the Gemara has thought that as a havamina, that cannot be used on Pesach. And what we have is a riboy. The Torah says the word matzah multiple times. It says it more than two times. But the idea is that we have a riboy. And that comes to tell me that even though these particular matzahs cannot be eaten by every Jew, nevertheless, they're still going to be acceptable for the Kohen, the matzah of challah and the matzah of truma. Continuing in the Gemara, v'lo b'tevel. Now, tevel cannot be made into matzah pshita. Now, that is obvious. So the Gemara says, v'lzricha b'tevel tevel medraban shesor b'atzit she'enu nakov. So it's tevel, but only on a rabbinic level. The produce was planted in a pot. The pot did not have any holes in it. It did not receive its yinika, its nourishment from the ground. So under those circumstances, it's not chayv and shumas amaisos de araisa. It is chayv midrabanan, and once there's a chayv derabanan, so that means that you cannot use it for the mitzvah of matzah until you take off shumas amaisos, even though that is only a din derabanan in this case. V'loba maisa rishon shalonit la truma. So now, next case in the Mishnah, if our Levi took his maisa rishon but did not take off shumas maiser, it's not going to be good. You cannot use this matzah. Now the Gemara Pshita is obvious. It's tevel. Before the Levi takes off his Trumas Meiser, his Meiserishon that he took is tevel. So of course it's no good. So the Gemara says, Lotzricha is she'igdima b'kri. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're talking about a case where the Levi preempted in this second half of the Mishnah where we talked about where he's preempting from the warehouse. Mahu de tema, one might have thought. Kedama le rapapa la abai kamash malan kedishani le. I might have thought like Rapapa would challenge Abaye, and the conclusion is no, like Abaye said, meaning Abaye was Miyashiv, the two drashas, and explain one drasha applied where the Levi preempted in the field versus the other drasha where the Levi preempted out in the storehouse. Fine. Valomba Meister Shane Vagdish Loniftu, Meister Shane and Hektish that was not redeemed. Pshita, the Gemara says, if it's not redeemed, it belongs to Hektish, and you're not allowed to eat it. So of course you can't use it as matzah. What's the alternative? So the Gemara's response is Pshita Lolam de Niftu. No, really, it was redeemed. Umay lo niftu, shalom niftu kiyuchasan. It just wasn't redeemed according to the strict letter of the law. Maiser Sheni, Shepado gav asimon. The Maiser Sheni was redeemed, but not using a coin, but rather using an unminted piece of metal. Derachman amar v'tzarta kesef davar sheish lo tzura. The drasha over here is v'tzarta kesef, that the money has to literally be held in your hand, wrapped in your hand, but the word surah over here to be understood that the coin that you're going to be using has to be a minted coin. So anytime you're using a coin that's not minted, so the redemption did not take place. Hektesh shechilu agabe karka. And what's inappropriate redemption of hektesh? You redeemed it on property. Derachmanama v'nasana kesef v'kamlo. The pasuk says that you have to give him the money, which means that the only way that you could properly be mechalo hektesh is only on movables and not property. Good, icon. We'll stop over here. Tana Rabbanan. We're going to start with the Braisa tomorrow. And let's quickly recap. Three chumras that we saw regarding hektesh. One by the Maim Chaim of the Paraduma has to go directly into the Kli. Two, Mitzora as part of the Tara process cannot eat carbon. Not after tefillah, not even after Harer Shemesh, but he must wait until the next day, until he brings his karbanos. And finally, number three, the idea that even non-food items are susceptible to tumah when used in the context of the Beit HaMikdash, the Eitzim and the Lavona are subject to tumah, despite the fact that they're not a food. So those are all chumras that we have as it relates to Kodesh, which all fits into Rav Yirmiyah's explanation of the Mishnah and Truma that we saw in yesterday's daf. We started with the Mishnah and the Mishnah regarding matzah can be broken down into three sections. One is that the five grains that the Mishnah identifies can be used for the mitzvah of matzah. And the simple reading of the Mishnah, as the Gemara itself highlighted, is that these five grains and only these five grains can be used. Then the Mishnah went over which agricultural halachas would allow the matzah to be used, and which agricultural halachas would prohibit the matzah from being used. And we went over the standard formula of the Mishnayos regarding when you followed the halachas correctly versus when you did not follow the agricultural halachas correctly. The Gemara went through all the cases of the Mishnah. And then the last part of the Mishnah, which we left really we translated the Mishnah, but we didn't understand it, having to do with the Chalas Todna Rikiki Nazir, where if you make them for yourselves, you cannot use for the mitzvah of matzah. But if you make it to sell, so then you can use it for the mitzvah of matzah. At this point, we didn't understand the Mishnah. That's coming up at a later point in time in this perek. The Gemara made a number of points. One is that how to properly categorize the five grains. Wheat and barley are kind of like the avos. They are the main categories. And within the category of wheat, you have spelt. And within the category of barley, you have oats and rye. And that is a nafkamin. It says Rashi, when you're being mafish shuman, it has to be min almino. And now we know which fits into which category. The big discussion of the Gemara was twofold. One, our Mishnah is not going like the Shita of Rav Yochanan ben Uri. Rav Yochanan ben Uri says that rice can become chametz. Rice can be made into matzah, and we don't pasken like Rav Yochanan ben Uri. And I touched on kidneys, but not with any kind of detail. We then went through the other halacha that if I were to take dough and I instead of using water, but rather I kneaded it with any of the fruit juices, so that doesn't become chametz gamur, and one would not be subject to kares if one were to eat it. Why should that be? So the Amoraim tried to give up shop, but when all was said and done, Rav Eli Bar Avin was very unhappy with any of the suggestions that he made. Rather, he just simply says, as we go to the top of the Amud Beis and review, May Paris are not going to be machmitz. They don't create chametz gamur. As I pointed out, major debate amongst the Rishonim how to understand that. Rashi's explanation very clear in that it does make some chametz, but not chametz gamur, meaning it will be usher to eat any grain that's kneaded and baked with fruit juice. It's just not going to be an Isser Karis. That's the way Rashi understands it. And as I briefly mentioned, Rabbeinu Tam over here strongly disagrees with his grandfather and is of the position that if I were to take a grain and bake it together with fruit juice, it does not become chametz at all, which obviously tremendous differences between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway, we touched on that very briefly. And then finally, the Amud Beis, we went through all the various agricultural halachas of the Mishnah in which it would make for a kosher eating experience, meaning you could eat the matzah, versus an usher eating experience, and that would mean, obviously, that you're not allowed to eat the matzah. And we went through each one of them in detail, exactly what the problem is that is not a problem, versus what the problem is that, in fact, would be a problem and would prohibit the consumption of such matzah.